Well, this is a wonderful story in the scriptures that shows the power of Jesus. But you know, whenever we read a story in the scripture, and we see kind of the things that lie on the top, and they're meant for us to see because they grab our attention. But then when we go back and we reread, study, maybe look at another gospel that has the same story, so we get some of the details. We talk about the synoptic gospels. That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And synoptic means they say many of the same things, but they have other details that are left out in one account. And so when you compare them, you get a bigger picture of what's contained. So in this particular story, there's a lot of things. I'll liken it to this. Many, many years ago, I used to go quahogging. Not quahogging, quahogging. And, some genius came up with this idea. Instead of a rake, you use a plunger. And so I was plunging away, and then everything is all cloudy. So you can't really see. So you're feeling around either with a rake or with your hands to see if there's quahogs there. And so you'd get them. And then you'd go off and you'd work in another section. And then you look back, and the mud that you had stirred up had settled. And now you see there's a great big quahog I missed. And it's lying out there right in the open. So as many times as you might have read the Gospels, you want to keep on reading them, rereading them, and finding new nuggets of gold that maybe you missed them the first time. And we all do that. I'm very grateful that the Lord decided to have the scriptures written down so that we can go back and read them again and see what we might have missed and get the bigger picture. Having said all that, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get into the scripture. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the written word of God. We thank you for Jesus and the hero of this book, the one who it's all about. And we pray that as we read and study and we see his power, that that power might be manifest in our own lives, that we too might call upon the Lord and be strengthened to walk and to do as you would have us to do to your glory. Thank you for this wonderful story. And we pray in Jesus' name that each of us would have contact with you this morning, a new dimension of our understanding touched and our hearts and minds open to this wonderful Savior who came from glory that we might be with him in glory forever. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read it first of all. Now, you have the copy, the story from Mark, but I'm going to read it from Matthew first. You don't have a copy of that, so just I'm going to read it out of that so you see some of those things, and then we'll go into the deeper story from Mark. When he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gerasenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now a good way off from there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, permit us to go into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go." So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Then those who kept them fled, and they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. So here's a wonderful story. They've come across the sea. There was a violent storm. This is a place where Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. He was exhausted. He fell asleep. The tremendous storm came up. A lot of people think that that was inspired by Satan. He's trying to drown Jesus and the disciples. He's a prince of the power of the air. He's not in heaven. He's not just on the earth. He's a prince of the power of the air. And he is given some power through the Lord, but it's still under his control. You know, in the book of Job, Satan was allowed to do certain things to Job. And God had a purpose in that. He uses even evil to affect his own purposes. It's because evil is present. It's not that he initiates evil. You have to see that. Okay, so as they're coming across this tremendous storm, and he stands up and he stills the storm. He just speaks a word and he stills the storm, and they look at him and they're astonished and they say, "What manner of man is this?" See, this is why Jesus came to the Jews in the first place. He's coming to announce the kingdom, but he's helping them to see what manner of God they have, what manner of man the Savior is. And he's manifesting that. On the way there, before they got in the boat, they had healed a leper. A leper said, "You can make me clean if you will. I will be clean." And so he's showing his power and his authority over everything. And now he's coming to like the worst case scenario where there's a man possessed by many demons. Okay. Now, one account, it says that two men were in the tombs. And another account, it says only one was there. It must be that one of these was the leader. He was more preeminent in this story than the other man. Okay. So we want to see that the worst case scenario, he's got his copies here. Mike, do you have any more copies of that? There you go. Okay. All right. So that worst case scenario. All right, let's see what happens in Mark here. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadareans. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately they met a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. See, here's more detail, all right? He lives in a cemetery. He lives among the dead. And that's got a spiritual connotation as well. Everybody's dead without Jesus. You know, we see these TV programs, The Walking Dead and all of that, and there's zombies walking around. And the world's got a fascination with death. And when we meet Jesus Christ, I hope we have a fascination with life in Jesus Christ. That's right. Those who hate me love death. That's right. Death in that case means separation from God. There's physical death where the spirit is separated from the body. And there's spiritual death where the person is separated from God. That's why Jesus came to bridge that gulf and to bring us back to God so that we could have him and be with him. Okay, immediately this man meets him out of the tombs, and it says that no one could bind him. That's the nature of Satan. You have to remember that sin began right in heaven. Satan, who was a powerful angel, some people think only, second only to Jesus himself. Jesus not an angel, he's the Son of God. But second only to Jesus himself, he said, "I will be like the Most High. I'm going to be God." That's the nature of sin. That's sin right there, okay? I will, against God's will. He wasn't happy with worshiping God. He wanted people to worship him. He had the audacity to ask Jesus to worship him. Remember that? How convinced and how proud and how ignorant and how blind can you be, all right? So these men, the result of the ministry of Satan. These are men who have not known Christ, and so now they're inhabited by demons. Listen, the worst thing that can happen is that you can become possessed, if you're not a believer, you're open territory, open game for Satan. You've got no power. You've got no authority against Satan. The only one that can rescue you from this domain of darkness and death is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's for everybody here, every single person. Some people think, well, you know, I'll decide later on. No, you need to decide today. You need to decide today. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to believe Jesus in these things. Okay. So let's see the description here. He dwelt among the tombs, and no one could bind him. Not even with chains, because he'd often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. This is a picture of a man possessed by Satan. What he does is harming himself. It's harming everyone. He has to be alone. He has to be among the dead. That's the only place that he has any refuge. He's isolated. Do you see that? The only company he has is demons. People, listen, this is what the Bible says. It isn't that people don't know there's a God. What they're really saying is, no God for me. I'm going to be my own God. That's a picture of Satan, and he put that in every sinner's heart. Every one of us was born, the Bible says, going astray, going away from God. I don't want God. I'm going to have things my way. And that's the essence of that. But you know what? There's a greater power than you, and that power is Satan. Greater than Satan is the power of Christ, and we can all be very grateful for that, that he has that power over Satan. So what a life he's living. He has no family. He's living alone. How many people isolate? Why are people smoking marijuana? Because they want to be alone. They want to have things their way, and they want to ease their conscience, and they don't want to think about death, and they don't want to think about hell. They don't want to think about one day you're going to meet God, whether you like it or you don't like it. That's not in your hands. It's God is calling everyone to account. And by the way, let this phrase sink into your mind. I see this all the time. People will say, I know Jesus loves me. And I get it. Jesus loves us, okay? But it talks in Revelation about the wrath of the Lamb. Have you ever seen an angry lamb? Obviously, it's more than just a lamb. It's the Lamb of God. And what is his anger about? He came and he gave it all. And nobody received it. Or those who didn't receive it are going to experience the wrath of the Lamb. The great white throne judgment where all unsaved people will be there, like it or not. They're going to be there and their works are going to be judged. They're already lost. There's no believers going to be there. It's just a degree of punishment that they're going to receive forever. And you know who's going to be sitting on the great white throne judgment? Jesus Christ himself. And you know, it tells us in Revelation, they want to flee from the face of God. They want to flee from the face of God. Listen, the Bible talks about the consolation of the Scriptures, or the comfort of the Scriptures, but it also talks about the fear of the Lord. And we as believers need not lose the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is good. It's hating evil, loving righteousness, and attributing all righteousness to God himself. That's what we want to be. We want to be obedient children of God. Let them laugh. They're only going to laugh for a little while. Laughter is going to cease at the great white throne judgment. All judgment is going to come to a fruition there for those who are not saved. So this man, I love this, verse 6. This man he's about the most wretched individual you could ever meet. And look what he does, verse 6. When he saw Jesus from afar, I wonder how far away he is from us today as believers. How about if there's somebody here not saved? How far away is Jesus? And this guy, he got a little inkling of light, and look what he does. I love this. He ran and worshiped him. You know what the root word of worship is? Worthy. He's saying, this is a person worthy. And he falls down and he worships him. Even though he's possessed by demons, even though his sin has probably led him into this awful state, he recognizes Jesus somehow. And interestingly enough, the demons within recognize Jesus too. I was preaching in a nursing home. There was a man there older than me, believe it or not. He was 90. He was in a wheelchair. And after I got through speaking, he motioned me to come over. And I went over and he said, at night sometimes, there's a demon that comes and stands at the foot of my bed. You know, why don't I believe him? There are demons. This is a spiritual world. I don't know. A lot of us are blind to that. But it's a spiritual world. And he was very afraid of this. And I said, listen, the next time that happens, this is what I want you to do. You say out loud, Jesus. Just say his name. There's power in the name of Jesus. It came back a couple of weeks later and he told me, it worked. Listen, the demons are in submission to Jesus Christ, okay? Watch what this demon has to say. By the way, he says his name is Legion, which means many. It could have been 6,000 demons in this one man. And it also shows us that Satan is a military guy. He can't be everywhere like God, but a lot of good Bible Students, scholars believe that the world is cut up into sections, and Satan has these different sections with captains and, you know, a whole military arrangement. In Revelation, Jesus talks about one church. You're located where Satan has his seat. You know, he can't be everywhere like God, but he does have demons. They have fallen. Remember, Satan is so powerful in his persuasion that he was able to persuade one third of the angels to go with him. Listen, we're no match for Satan. Amen. I'm no match for Satan. I got one who is. By the grace of God, we have Jesus Christ and we have his word, and we can not be afraid of Satan, but we're going to, we're not going to talk foolishly about Satan. Sometimes I hear people praying, we bind Satan. No, you don't. Satan's still walking around. What are you talking about? You're not binding Satan, but you might be rescuing somebody from his grasp. And that's what Jesus is doing here, okay? So he sees him from far, he runs and worships. He cried out with a loud voice, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Listen, the lowest demon recognizes that Jesus is the Son of God. Son of God means of the same essence as God. That's exactly what it means. So he's God, but he's also man. He's perfect man. He's always been God. In the womb of a virgin, he took on humanity, became human. And not just a human, became a perfect human being, a man without sin. Adam was the only other one born without sin. He didn't, well, of course, Eve wasn't born, but they were without sin until they sinned. But Jesus never sinned. See, a lot of the things that happened to Jesus were tests. Would he sin? They tell about out in the Midwest, there was a big chasm. And they built a railroad bridge over this chasm. And the word went out, some people were saying, you know what, that bridge is, it's not built right. It's going to collapse one of these days. And so the engineers who built the bridge, they demonstrated the bridge. And what they did was they had a train with many cars of coal go back and forth over that bridge, back and forth, showing that the bridge would hold under those circumstances. That's what Jesus did. He was tried in every point as we are, and yet without sin. Could he sin? I don't believe he could. Some people believe he could. The point is, he didn't. He did not sin. And so he offered that perfect life for your life and for mine. He died for us so that we could have this perfection within us, growing within us. So he says, my name is Legion. We are many. He begged them earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. His demons begging, pleading, praying to Jesus. Maybe we should do that, right? Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. Now, let's talk about pigs for a minute. We had pigs when I was growing up, besides my brother and I at the dinner table. But what I found about pigs, one thing I remember, is that if you threw something in the pen, they investigated it. And if it wasn't edible, they weren't interested. That's why Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. Because they come over, they sniff it, there's nothing edible, and they're not interested. That's like a sinner. He hears the word of God, but nothing resonates within. You see that? He has no appetite for that because he's feeding his own lusts. The Bible says if you're not controlled by God, you're controlled by your own lusts. And we were all born with those. And guess what? If you feed those lusts, what do? They get stronger. And pretty soon the whole life is under control of your own natural inclinations. You see that? So that's why we need to stay in the Word of God and keep on being controlled by the Holy Spirit. So, about these swine now. This, where Jesus was now was Decapolis. And Decapolis, that's the area. And Decapolis really means 10. And when Alexander the Great conquered the known world, his captains or his generals, whatever they were, they divided these areas into 10 areas. And so this is one of those areas. Now, there were many Jews in there, but there were a lot of Gentiles as well. Now, Jews are always told that a swine, a pig, is an unclean animal. You're not supposed to have anything to do with it. By the way, some Bible students believe that this Decapolis, where Jesus went, now he could have walked there, but they came across the sea or the lake. It's really like a large lake instead. But a lot of people think that's the far country where the prodigal son went. Because remember, he walked home, right? So he couldn't have been that far away. It doesn't talk about hours and hours of walking. We're not sure. But it could have been that this was a far country. And remember, what did he do? What was his employment over there? Feeding pigs, okay? Now, we get the idea. And listen, I've come into my house when I was a kid, and my mother was cooking something on the stove. It smelled horrible. My mother was a great cook. But you know what they did? They'd take all the garbage that was left over, and she'd throw some grain in there, and she'd boil it up on the stove and have it all mixed together, and that was the slop that you fed the pigs, okay? Thank God it wasn't supper, okay? But I can remember coming in. She didn't do that very often. Once in a while, I'm not sure why exactly she did that. But listen, when this prodigal was feeding these pigs, he was not feeding them slop. What he was feeding them was the eucalyptus pods, which they used to make sugar. But they had very little nutritional value. Isn't that a picture? Listen, your appetites as a human being, there's a certain sweetness to sin. Let's not lie. There's a certain sweetness to sin, okay? But there's no nutritional value. So here he is in a far country. He's eating what the pigs eat. And one day he comes to himself and says, this is crazy. Even the lowest servant in my father's house is better off than I am. And, you know, the role model that he had was his elder son. The elder son got up every morning, shut the alarm off, put his clothes on, went out and worked all day for the father. Came home, ate his supper, went to bed. That's exciting. No, the young prodigal son says, that's not for me. If that's religion, I don't want it. And by the way, if that's religion, I don't want it either. I want Jesus. When Jesus is in your life, things happen. Amen? Things you can't give account for. And we want to be filled with that spirit of Jesus so he leads us on into areas that we never thought we could go into, and we can see Jesus Christ glorified. Jesus Christ gives the victory. And so these pigs over here in this area that's right next to Jerusalem, not far away. So I was reading earlier that people are amazed how close everything is there. It's not that far apart, all these things that you read in the Bible, okay, so where Jesus went. So what are they doing with these pigs? They're actually raising these pigs to sacrifice on the altars of pagan gods. So see, Jesus is over there for more than one reason. Okay, first and foremost, he's out to save people. But secondly, he's out to oppose that which is wrong. See, the Bible says that the church is supposed to be both salt and light. Salt is the idea of holding back the corruption of the world. We preach the gospel and we preach the truth of God. We say, yes, God holds sin accountable. Holds the sinners accountable. On the other hand, God also wants to change the sinner, wants to save the sinner, and make the sinner a light, now a saint. See, you go from being a sinner to a saint, and it happens like that. As soon as you believe in Jesus, you belong to him forever. The Holy Spirit enters that new nature, and God has never lost any of his children yet. Sometimes they think they're lost. Sometimes they act like they're lost. I'm not going to say they, I'm going to say we. Sometimes we act like we're lost. Sometimes we act like we don't have a Father in heaven. And we do! We do. He raised Jesus from the dead to give us confidence in what he had to say. Okay, let's see what happens here. I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Verse 8 says, for he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, this is Jesus, what is your name? And he answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. So the idea here is there's probably maybe 6,000 demons in this man, And Legion is the captain. And so he's answering. He's the one in authority under Satan. Yes. Absolutely. They recognize his authority. Now, and we're going to see a little bit more of that. Yes, they do. Let's see, and going back to verse 7, he cried out with a loud voice and cried, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." So another translation says that you don't torment me before the time. So here's the deal. Satan knows he's toast. Isn't that interesting? He's toast, okay? He knows that. So he's going to get the most out of what he's got going right now. Does that sound familiar? We only go around once. We only go around once, so, grab all the gusto you can. In other words, feed your fleshy appetites and enjoy life, yes. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, don't, yeah, yeah. That's the same one, yeah. Because they know that he has authority. Don't send us there before the time, another translation says. They know that they're done, okay? Now, notice how Jesus, when you read it, hang on. When you read about Jesus, you see that these stories have got more than one implication. He's not only saving this man, okay, from the demons, he's also knocking in the head this idea of sacrificing pigs to fallen gods. Do you realize what an insult that is to God? Only blind people would do such a thing. They're offering pigs. What did Jesus, what was he? He was a lamb of God. And he was offered by God. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. This is what kind of got me going on this whole thing. Do you realize that sin, you should study up on sin. I was going to speak on sin this morning because I wanted to talk about something you knew about. No, but seriously speaking, sin is more than an action. You will see, as you read carefully, especially Paul's epistles, that sin is not just an action, it's a force. It's a power. Okay? Now, obviously, initially, it comes from Satan, but it's also a power within us. You know, we're born again. We've got a new nature. Why aren't we more like Jesus? Because we still got an old nature. And we've got to learn, by the grace of God, how to overcome that old nature so that Jesus is shining through more and more. That's the idea. Okay? Now, I can't tell you, I've known a lot of Christians over my lifetime. I love every one of them. I don't love them perfectly because I ain't perfect. But I know God loves them, all right? But I've known many Christians that were, quote, on fire for God. And they've lost their fire. Some of them have gone into, and all you who are experienced in Christianity, you know this is true. They've gone into things, unbelievable things that they're connected with. So the thing is, stay close to Jesus Christ, okay? Keep on being empowered by him. When you feel your heart not what it ought to be, bring it before the Lord again, okay? He hasn't run out of love. He hasn't run out of power. You know, David, Psalm 51, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation." I want you to think for a minute about the time that you felt, and oh, that's a bad word. No, I mean it, that you felt closest to the Lord. Okay. That's just a kind of a beginning, all right, to the depth that we can get closer to him. You know, as Christians, we can wander. We can stray. We can become disappointed. We become hurt by something that happened in the church. You know, somehow people expect the church to be different than other people. And we should be. I got that. Okay. But sometimes we're not. And whenever you come into a new situation, it takes time to get to know people and they get to know you. And once they get to know you, they realize they don't want anything to do with it. No. seriously, we need to get to know each other in Christ. See, we want to see Christ in each other. Not so much, oh, this guy does this and this guy does that and a woman does this. It's seeing Christ. So this is what Christ is aiming for here. So he's going to deliver this this man. So this large herd of swine, they want to go in there. Somebody put it this way, an old preacher. I like those old preachers. They used to tell it like it was, or it is. They said, Satan's second choice to a man is a pig. See that? They're living inside this man, and they said, let us go in the pigs. And they probably didn't see much difference. Amen? The natural man is not much. Okay? Even us who are born again, we ain't much without Jesus. He's the one that makes a difference. He's the one that puts that light in our eyes and the fire in our belly, if you will. Okay, so send us to the swine that we may enter in. Did you notice what he says? Send us. They know that Jesus is in control. Don't ever forget that. Jesus is in control. Send us to the swine that we might enter them. And at once, Jesus gave them permission. Right away, Jesus said, yes, that's a good idea. You go ahead and go in those swine. And those people had their income wiped out, and their income was based on bad stuff. I would not want to be a liquor store owner. I would not want to be a pot store owner. You're going to answer to God, whoever's doing that, because you're hurting people. You're not really helping them. You're saying, here, take some drugs. That way you can forget God and feel comfortable about it. It would be good for sinners to feel uncomfortable. It would be good for sinners to have some anxiety about meeting God so that it gets resolved in Jesus Christ. We don't want to be giving people a shot so they don't have to think. So these unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Listen, sinners are doing that. They're running violently to the sea to drown. Okay. They don't even realize it. When I say violent, they're going against all spiritual truth, all spiritual light, and their mind is, I want to get in that ocean and kill myself. I want oblivion. I want to enter into death. This is why the Bible says that the unsaved man loves death. He wants to be separated from God. He does not want to have a relationship with him. So those who fed the swine fled. Those who fed the swine fled. And they told it in the city and in the country. So the whole country was affected by what happened here. What a way to publicize things. Listen, this is how they did it in the old days. Something sensational happened and it went around by word of mouth. Now we're on, Twitter or whatever. But in those days it went quickly by word of mouth. And so everybody knew about this. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. Now, here's the picture of somebody that's sane, spiritually speaking, is sitting with Jesus at his feet, and they're listening to what he has to say. That's spiritual sanity. Okay? Spiritual sanity. And look what he wants to do. First of all, these people come out and they see this. And they were afraid. They were afraid. See, that's often the sinner's initial reaction to God starting to work in his heart and life. And we should be aware of that. And we should be, we need to be firm in our convictions, but also with compassion to where people are at. And we want to say, you know what, I used to feel like that too, because it's true. And you know what, keep on coming. And once you get to know Jesus, you're going to experience his compassion, yes. Yeah, her question is all suicide of Satan and the devil? I don't know. It could be, the origins could be your natural reasoning, could be Satan himself, yes? Say it again. I'm sorry. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and in Proverbs it tells us, basically it's like this. Okay, you believe us? You know where people in darkness are going. And if you come to me in the day of judgment, I'm talking about the judgment seat of Christ, not about your soul, about your work. You say, I didn't know. He's going to call you a liar. Because we do know. Now, not everybody's called to be an evangelist. Everybody's called to be a witness, okay? So what we want to do is support those people who are gifted in evangelism, but at the same time, when an occasion comes up and we get a chance to say something, that we're not going to back away from that. I'm sorry. Did you catch that?
Yeah, it was the demons ground.
Oh, did they drown only the pigs? Yes, that's correct. Okay. No. Because here's the idea: demons, angels, human beings—we're alive forever. Yeah, we're going to exist somewhere forever. Okay. But in the case of believers, we have a new life in Christ, so we're going to be with him. But even people in hell are going to be there forever. Demons are forever because Satan himself, actually the Bible says that God created hell for the devil and his angels. It wasn't created for man. That's a good thing to remember, you know, that God, before the world was ever created, Jesus was given by God in his own heart and mind. He had died already for the sins of the whole world. So God had already prepared. He knew that we were going to need Jesus in his own heart and mind. And when God prophesies something, it's as good as done. Okay? And sometimes he speaks of it as if it were done. So he had prepared us. So we're alive forever right now. You know, physically we're not, obviously. But, yes.
Spirits. So if you understand what's going on, spirits cannot die.
That's right.
They can be separated from God.
That's right.
Yeah. Humans can die.
Yeah.
Pigs can die.
Right.
Spirits themselves live for eternity.
Right. And Jesus spoke of an unsaved man, where he said he was talking about hell, and he said where the flame never goes out and the worm never dies, and that worm is really the soul of an unsaved person. Remember when Jesus was on the cross, Psalm 22? He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Messianic Psalm. Well, in that same psalm, Jesus says, I am a worm and no man. So he's identifying with the lowest form of humanity because he's dying for everyone. Yes. Let me get over here. I can. I'm sorry. I don't hear well. Well, yeah. See, really, hell is kind of like a holding tank, and no believers will be there. But at some point, every unbeliever of every generation will come before the great white throne, and the books, plural, will be open. Number one, just to show that God is fair and just, I believe, the Lamb's Book of Life will be there. And these persons' names will not be written in there. So that'll be the first check. And then everything they ever did is going to have a result. I don't know how it can get worse than being thrown into the lake of fire, okay? And yet, the scripture teaches that the degree of sin is going to have a degree of punishment that matches what was done. I don't get that, okay? Some people think, well, they'll have a worse conscience in hell. I don't know, maybe that's true. But let's wrap this up if we can. We've got a couple of minutes here. Okay, so I want you to see that what this guy wants to do. In verse 18, and when he got into the boat, this is Jesus, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. Remember, he's in his right mind now. So he wants to follow Jesus. That's a pretty good indication that you're in your right mind. Okay? All right, he wants to follow Jesus. This is the one who delivered him. This is the one who made an impact on this lost area. Okay? Your pigs have been already destroyed, the ones that you were mocking God by sacrificing them in pagan temples. See, this is a little preview of when Jesus comes and establishes his kingdom. The righteous are going to shine, okay? But that which is bad is going to be totally destroyed. Going into that millennial kingdom, it's only going to be righteous people. And Jesus is going to be ruling from the throne of David, just like God promised David. One of your descendants will rule forever from there. It's coming. It's coming. We're the church. First we're going, then it's coming. Okay? That's the way you want to look at it. Now, look what happened here. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, listen, often when a person gets saved, they're full of enthusiasm. Okay. I know I'm supposed to go out and do, fill in the blank. Maybe not. Maybe you need some instruction, okay? You can always serve the Lord at any level, okay? But you maybe want to proceed cautiously and make sure that you're going where God wants you to go, okay? This is what Jesus said. I'm glad you want to come with me. Doesn't really say that, but I'm sure he was glad that he wanted to follow. But you stay here. And tell them about me. And later on, when Jesus goes back there, they welcome him. A whole huge crowd comes out because this guy's changed life was a testimony. They all knew him. Hey, who do you know that needs to get saved like this? Who do you know that's in the dregs? Who do you know that everybody points to and says, that guy, if you knew that guy like I know that guy, I do know that guy because I look in the mirror. I look in the mirror of God's word, okay? And I know what's in that guy's heart because I'm human too, all right? But the thing is, we got a new thing going on now. We got a new relationship. We got a Savior who wants to manifest himself to the world through the church, through preaching, but also as we take that in ourselves and believe it and stand in it and rejoice in it, that's a testimony to the world, okay? It's not going to work this way. Hey, I'm saved. You want to be saved too? The old joke, the horse goes into the bar and the bartender says, "Why the long face?" Yeah, that's an old joke. Okay. You either heard it before or you didn't get it. Why the long face? Okay. So are we always supposed to be bubbly and never have any trouble? No, we have troubles. We got them. But Jesus Christ walks through those troubles with us. One of my favorite illustrations, you probably heard it 14 times already, but I'm going to give it again, because first of all, I can remember it, and secondly, I really like it, okay? Little boy on the farm, he does something, his father says, "No son of mine that did something like that can sleep in the house tonight. Tonight, you sleep in the barn." And the day wore on. Twilight came, the little boy got more and more fearful. Finally, the father goes over and says, "I'm going to keep my word. You're going to sleep in the barn tonight, but I'm going to sleep with you." So God walks us through these things. He has never abandoned a believer. Sometimes believers feel like they're abandoned. Read the Psalms. "Where are you, God? Why do you hide yourself in this trouble, God?" Wow, that's honesty. And you can have that kind of relationship with God that answers those questions. Okay? You can be honest with God. The Bible says, pour out your heart before God. The Israelites in the wilderness, they got in their tent and they murmured against God and his servant Moses. You see that? Instead of murmuring, stop praying. And I'm talking to me too. All right, we have to close. Does Jesus have power over demons? Are demons very powerful? So can God lead you out over anything that's holding you back?
Yes.
Amen. I said, can God... Okay. All right. All God's people said amen to the truth of Jesus Christ. All right. Let's have a word of prayer.